Hey guys, what's up there? This is David. Follow me on Twitter at JustProcessYT. It's been a while, I know it's been a while, but it's a new video and I'm gonna try to get as much content every week as I can, you know, with schedules changing, my daughter's going back to school soon. So it's been kind of busy, but I promise you that I'm gonna try to get content out as much as possible. And of course, there's not just me, there's also the Black Techies podcast if you're into that. But speaking of which, so I actually want to say thank you. As of this recording, I have 65 subscribers. And in the grand scheme of YouTube, obviously, that's not a big number. But it means something to me that 65 people would take it upon themselves to subscribe to me, just a small little YouTuber out there, slash podcaster. And I really appreciate it. And if I get to 100 subscribers, I can actually change the name of my channel, or change the URL of my channel, so I can just point people to youtube.com/justprocessing. So go ahead and click that subscribe button if you're not already subscribed. If you like the kind of content that I have, leave a like down below, and it really helps because it influences the YouTube algorithm and all of that. We all know YouTube is all about the algorithm. So click that like button, click the subscribe button if you haven't already, and once again, thank you so much for the subscriptions. Second of all, as you might notice, is I'm doing a little bit of a different format right now. So this is more of a vlog, podcasting type format, because before I would normally have mostly what's called B-roll or supplemental footage to kind of back up what I'm saying. But the problem is it takes a long time to get all of that. And video editing takes a long time. I mean, when you see YouTubers with 10-minute, 15-minute videos, it did not take 10 to 15 minutes to make those videos. I can promise you. Maybe several days worth of editing to get just the right shots and just the right color and all of that. So it just takes a long time to edit. So to kind of help with the video editing process, I decided to change the format that I do my video. So this is more of a vlog podcast type. And because of that, I've actually launched a podcast. So you can subscribe to the Just Processing podcast on Spotify, Google Podcast rather. And I think Stitcher. After checking, it's Google Podcast, Pocket Cast, and Spotify. There's also others, Radio Public and Breaker, if you're into that. I upload these on Anchor. So if you're also a podcaster who uses Anchor, you can use Anchor to listen to mine as well. So we're working on getting Apple Podcasts because I know a lot of people out there have iPhones. So just bear with me. If you're one of those people who uses Apple Podcasts, I'm just waiting for Anchor to launch the podcast onto Apple Podcasts. All right, that's it. Let's get started. So there's an article that I read recently on GameIndustry.biz called "Are the Console Wars Over?" Or rather, I think it's titled "The Console War Is Over." And I thought that was a very interesting article because, you know, if you've been a gamer for any period of time, I mean, all the way back to Atari, going up to Nintendo and Sega, and all of that, you know, there's always been some kind of console war, quote unquote, right? But nowadays, it seems that times are changing and the priorities of the different platform holders, Sony, Microsoft, Nintendo, it seems like they're changing. And so this article, and I'll link it down in the description, and it basically goes over how each of the platform holders have different priorities when it comes to what they consider winning. And the overall goal is, or not almost a goal, but the overall main point is that what if everyone wins? What if everyone could achieve their goal of whatever they deem as winning? If you remember, I actually put out a few videos before, my first few videos. One was how the Xbox Series X could beat the PS5 and vice versa, right? And so I laid out what things Microsoft could do to beat, quote unquote, the PS5. Now, obviously, what is considered winning differs. So we're going to talk about each of the companies and their strategy. So starting up there's Microsoft, and as we saw in Microsoft's showcase that they had a couple of weeks ago, which kind of got negative attention due to some of the quality of the graphics on Halo Infinite. But you know, we're not going to talk about that. I'm a Halo fan personally, so I just hope that it's a good game. But Microsoft's version of success, all it kind of revolves around Xbox Game Pass. And that was the main takeaway I got from their showcase, that all of the games that came out, all of those first party games are going to be on Game Pass first. And not just first, but they're going to be there like on day one. And I talked about in my, I talked about that in my video, where the very fact that you can get all of Microsoft's first party games day one on Game Pass, and you don't have to worry about buying a $60 game. I mean, that's pretty major. And so, and the fact that all of the games that you have on Game Pass are really good. Like, it's not like it's a bunch of shovelware where some no shade on indie developers or anything. In fact, I encourage more indie developers, but there are a bunch of games out there. If you look on the Steam store, if you look on the Nintendo eShop, there's a lot of games on there that, yeah, they're probably not that great, or they're clones of other games. But you don't see that on Game Pass. You see a lot of heavy hitting games like Shadow of the Tomb Raider, and then Red Dead Redemption 2 is on there. Like, you see a bunch of heavy hitters on there. And the fact that first party AAA games are gonna go on there, you know, some people say it's the best deal in gaming, and I would be inclined to agree with that. And so for them, for Microsoft, success isn't necessarily selling a bunch of consoles or selling a bunch of Xbox consoles. I mean, of course they would want to. You know, they want people to go out there and buy an Xbox One or an Xbox Series X or Series S, as I'm pretty sure that's what Xbox Lockhart is going to be. But I'm pretty sure that their measure of success is making sure that they can sign up as many people as they can for Xbox Game Pass. That's the measure of success. And so I think for Microsoft, they care more about that subscription model. And we've seen in the last few years that everyone wants a subscription service. And I'm going to be doing a video on that next aspect. That's going to be my next video. We're going to talk about streaming services. Why are there so many streaming services? And why can't they just be on one service and just be done with it? But that's a different topic. But the point is that recurring revenue model from subscriptions is what Microsoft is chasing, and they realize if they can get a bunch of people on that recurring revenue model, if they can sign up a bunch of people for Game Pass, then they got you. And obviously, you're not going to stay subscribed to something that doesn't have any good games or that doesn't have any good content. I mean, part of the reason why Netflix is so successful, it's because they have a lot of good first party, a lot of good original content. Like, I'm going through the Umbrella Academy season 2, and it's great. I just went through Transformers: The War for Cybertron, Siege. That's good. Go check that out. And so they have a bunch of first party, for lack of a better term, original content on Netflix that keeps you coming back. Of course, there's also the other third party content that's on Netflix that you like to watch. So that's the hook. Also, for PC gamers, I'm personally a PC gamer myself. Microsoft's really been trying to reach out to the PC gaming community and kind of include them in the whole Game Pass thing. There's a Game Pass for PC, although technically it's in beta, but there's a Game Pass for PC, and it's only like $5 a month. $5 a month. And I get all of the Xbox first party games. You can't, I mean, you can't really beat that, right? So, like I said, for Microsoft, rather, the measure of success is how many PC and Xbox gamers they can get to sign up for Game Pass Ultimate, or I guess it's Game Pass Ultimate because it also includes PC, console, and the internet, and multiplayer gaming, rather. But I think that might be going away, and it might just be Game Pass. But we'll have to see what happens in the coming months. Now, moving on to, oh wait, I almost forgot. Project X Cloud. Oh man, how did I forget about that? So apparently, Microsoft has announced that Project X Cloud, which is their game streaming service, is going to be included in Game Pass for free. You don't have to pay anything extra for Game Pass. So let's say you have a PC or an Xbox. While you're at home, you can just play your games there, right? But when you leave, you go on a business trip, you're traveling, you're on vacation, you can just take your phone with you or your Android tablet, because right now it's only on Android. Sorry, iOS folks. But it's only on Android. So you can just, you know, hook your you can connect your phone to Bluetooth with an Xbox controller, and there you go. You can just start playing xCloud games. You can you can continue where you left off on your console or your PC. And that it's the whole package with Microsoft. I mean, with that whole subscription, right, you get all of these games, and then you can take it with you on your phone, and so you can continue where you left off. You can play new games that you never would have thought of playing. And like I said, if you're on PC, $5 a month. That's it. Five. And if you're on console, I think it's $10 a month for the regular, and then for Ultimate is $15. But yeah, that I would say that's Microsoft's measure of success. So moving on is Sony. So Sony is the more traditional, is the traditionalist, and of course their measure is how many PS5 consoles they can sell. So like right now, obviously we all know that that PS4 is the winner, at least as far as sales numbers. Sony has sold like 11 million PS4 or something like that. I'll probably have the right number on screen, but Sony has sold by far more PS4 consoles than Microsoft has sold Xbox One consoles. And if, you know, for good reason. You know, when Microsoft first came out with the Xbox One, you know, they had the DRM policy, they had the always on policy, they had the Kinect that made the price go up. You know, it started at what, $500, where the PS4 was like $400. So which one would you get? A $400 console, $500 console? And for Sony, they strongly believe in the concept of separate console generations. So even though most of the PS4 games that come out will be playable on the PS5, don't expect PS2 and PS3 to be on there. And certainly there are going to be PS5 games that you cannot play on the PS4. So Sony strongly believes in that delineation between the PS4 and the PS5. You have games that only work on the PS4. You have games that only work on the PS5. And for Sony, you know, obviously, as long as they can sell consoles and provide a competent reason for buying a PS5, meaning their games, that's their measure of success. How many PS5 consoles can they sell? And to be fair, they have a really good track record, obviously, of high-quality first-party exclusives, like, you know, The Last of Us Part 2 just came out, Bloodborne, God of War, Spider-Man, Spider-Man Miles Morales is coming out, Horizon Zero Dawn, The Forgotten West, I think, is coming out for PS5. And so we have all of these high-quality first-party titles that are coming out. I mean, those are the kind of games that get you to want to buy a console, because if you're in the market for a gaming console, why would you buy one? Why should I pick up a PlayStation over an Xbox or vice versa, right? It's the games. It's all about the games. And as much as Microsoft wants to tout the power of the Xbox Series X, what's going to bring people in are the games. Now, granted, being able to play games for $10 a month, that's pretty good. So, yeah. And also, I think one thing to point out is that Sony and Microsoft are two different kinds of companies. I mean, Microsoft at its core is a software company, and Sony at its core is a hardware company. So naturally, you're going to see Microsoft sell more software or software-based solutions such as Game Pass and xCloud versus Sony, who wants more of the hardware-based solutions like an actual PS5, right? So I think that's why they have different strategies in that regard. Now, obviously, Microsoft has, you know, delved into the hardware market. It has the Surface line. It obviously has Xbox. But Sony, by and by, is a hardware company. I mean, they make phones. They make microphones or cameras, phones, computers, game consoles, obviously. I mean, hardware is at the core of what Sony is. It's always been a hardware company first, not a software company. So it makes sense that Sony's measure of success is how many PS5s it can sell. So with that, we're going to move to Nintendo. All right, so Nintendo is kind of sort of like Sony, right? They want to sell you Switches. And I would say Nintendo 3DSs, but I think it's pretty it's clear that they're focusing on the Switch right now. So yeah, Nintendo wants to sell a lot of Switches, and apparently they have. I mean, throughout this whole pandemic, with everyone being shut in and quarantined and everything, sales of the Switch have gone up. Really all the consoles, but the Switch especially, because it's the cheapest. And you can just give a Switch to a little kid. You know, if you have to work, I'm a parent myself, so trust me, I get it. When you need to work and your son or daughter is in summer vacation, or they're out of school or whatever, they need something to do, but you need to work. So I definitely understand why the Switch got a huge bump in sales during this whole pandemic. But here's the thing, though. Nintendo isn't trying to compete with Microsoft and Sony on specs. I mean, clearly the Switch is more powerful than the 360 and the PS3, but it's definitely not as powerful as even the base Xbox One and the base PS4, let alone the Xbox One X and PS5 and Xbox Series X and all that. So Nintendo isn't trying to compete on specs. They're competing on IP, kind of sort of like Sony in a way, actually. So what brings people to Nintendo or to the Switch is, one, the software. I mean, where else can you play Mario and Zelda and Splatoon and, you know, all of those Nintendo specific titles? You can't play that on any other system, kind of. So one thing that Nintendo has been doing is spreading out into the mobile area. So with smartphones, so Nintendo has released different games like Mario Kart Tour, Super Mario Run, Fire Emblem Heroes, and Regalia Lost, and other Nintendo titles that you would normally just see on a Nintendo platform. But because we all know that the mobile market is basically ripe for the picking, and to be honest, I'm not really a fan of most mobile games because they have plenty of microtransactions, and you gotta like wait to, like, if you're trying to build something and you run out of materials, you can either wait like an hour to fill up the bar or whatever, or you can just pay that $5.99 and just replenish it. So I'm not really a fan of it myself, but it is what it is. And Nintendo recognizes, I mean, they're a company, they gotta make money, right? So they recognize that the mobile space is an area where they can expand into, and they almost have the mobile market kind of cornered. I mean, not just smartphones, but just mobile hardware. I mean, the PS Vita is no more, which kind of makes me sad because I really liked the Vita. I used to have a Vita, and I liked it, and Sony killed it. So right now, the only mobile platform you really have, well, the only mobile hardware platform that you have is the Switch. And I mean, like I said, Microsoft has Project xCloud, which kind of is streaming. It's not dedicated hardware. It's still running in the cloud. So I'm not going to count that. But, well, maybe. I don't know. You could buy a Razer Kishi and connect it to your phone, and you have basically a gamepad that you can use for Game Pass or for xCloud. But it's not dedicated hardware to play games that are downloaded to your device, you know, just like the Switch is. So right now, Nintendo kind of has the mobile market cornered. And so their concept of winning isn't necessarily, well, it's selling a bunch of Switches. Yes, they want to sell you a bunch of Switches, but it's also the growth of their IP. The article that I mentioned before mentioned that Nintendo's growth in their IP, or intellectual property, is what's kind of fueling their, it's really their motivation. I mean, you know, they're not just putting Mario on the Switch. They're putting Mario on the iPhone. They're putting Mario on your Android phone. So basically, wherever you are, whatever kind of device you have, as long as it's mobile, you can play a Mario game. So, and to be fair, you know, I played Super Mario Run and I played Mario Kart Tour, and they were pretty good. I mean, I didn't, for Mario Kart Tour, I didn't really like the fact that it was just in portrait mode, although I think they updated, so now you can play Mario Kart Tour in landscape mode. So, good for them on that. But, you know, I think for Nintendo, it's really more about selling people as many Switches as they can and also expanding their IP. So for Nintendo to win would be to get more eyes, more people playing their games and buying their hardware. So because they know that the Switch isn't going to be someone's primary system, right? They know that most people are going to have either a PS5 or an Xbox Series X or a PC as their primary console or platform of choice, and then use the Switch as more of a secondary machine. That's what I do. I have a PC as my primary gaming platform, and then I use the Switch whenever I'm on the go because it's very convenient to just, you know, play games on the go like that. So, and Nintendo knows that, which is one reason why it's a lot cheaper to buy a Switch Lite, although it's hard to get right now, but it's a lot easier to just, you know, plunk down $200 on a Switch Lite versus, you know, $500, $600 on either a gaming PC or a console, right? And Nintendo has proven that being able to play major games like Wolfenstein, The Witcher 3, on a portable console, you know, yeah, the graphics aren't as great as, you know, the PS4 and Xbox and PC, but who cares? You can play The Witcher 3 and Diablo 3, and you can play all of these kinds of games on the Switch, on the go, on the plane, you know, on the bus, on the toilet, if you really want to. So that is Nintendo's play, and honestly, they've been knocking it out the park, and I don't really see them slowing down, you know, anytime soon. That said, I do think that their current the current chipset, the NVIDIA Tegra X1, I think that's inside the Switch, is getting a little old. I'm hoping that they update the chipset to a more powerful version. You know, maybe NVIDIA has a newer version of maybe the X2, I think, is out. Maybe they can switch to that, or I'm not sure. I do think that it's time for a hardware refresh of the Switch, maybe even a slightly redesigned version of the Switch. I mean, it's really convenient to have, but it's not using the Switch, and I actually have it here, you know, using this in the regular mobile, in the regular configuration like this, is not as ergonomic as I would like. And so I kind of hope they kind of redesign the Joy-Cons to keep, you know, keep being able to take it out and switch, right? But make it a little bit more ergonomic. So yeah, I think that for Nintendo, they have stayed the course on their goals, and I think right now they're doing really well. So to kind of sum up, you know, Microsoft's whole thing is to get you into a subscription. They want you to subscribe to Xbox Game Pass and subscribe to xCloud and basically get Xbox everywhere. They want you to play Xbox on your PC. They want you to play it on your Mac. They want you to play it on your smartphone, on Xbox hardware, in anywhere there's a screen. Honestly, they want you to be able to play Xbox games. Sony, on the other hand, wants you to buy a PS5. They're not trying. While they do have PlayStation Now, which is their streaming service, which I will be looking at along with Stadia and GeForce Now and xCloud and Shadow. So if you want to see that, if you want to see those videos where I compare each of the different game streaming services, subscribe so you don't miss that. And of course, you know, ring the bell icon. But yeah, Sony does have PlayStation Now, but they're, at least for right now, it could change, but for right now, I think Sony's primary goal is to just sell consoles, sell PS5s. They want you to buy PS5s, and they're going to make sure that they have those exclusive first-party titles that encourage you and that compel you to want to buy a PS5, and they have succeeded on that. I mean, The PS4 lineup is some of the best games I've ever played. I love God of War. I love Spider-Man. I love Horizon Zero Dawn. So, I haven't played Bloodborne, and I'm not really into those kind of Souls-like games, but I heard that was really good. And I played Uncharted. I played the entire Uncharted series. I love it. So they, you know, they have proven that they can succeed. And Microsoft has proven that they can succeed with Game Pass. I mean, they have millions of subscribers, and I think it's only going to grow as they continue to build out that platform. And so is it possible for everyone to win? Yes. I mean, I think it's possible for Xbox to sell a crap ton of Xbox Game Pass subscriptions. You technically don't really need an Xbox. I mean, if xCloud is combined with Game Pass, and if they release an xCloud app for your phone and for like your PC or a Mac, you technically don't need a console. You can just boot up xCloud and play it on there. I mean, I wouldn't recommend playing like multiplayer Halo or something like that. But, you know, for someone, if you don't have the money, especially now, if you don't have the money to buy a new console, or if you don't have the money to build your PC or, you know, something like that, just play it on xCloud. Can Sony sell a bunch of PS5s? Yes. They've proven that they have the ability to sell consoles. They've proven that they have the ability to provide meaningful and convincing reasons to buy a PS4. They have the games that prove that buying into a PS4 or buying into a PS5 is a worthwhile investment. And so, yes, you could buy a Switch for mobile gaming. You could buy into Game Pass on your laptop, on your, you know, 5-year-old laptop. You can just use xCloud with Game Pass. And you could buy a PS5 for all of those games. You could do all three of those and be happy. So then all three companies would win. Which kind of leaves an outlier, Google Stadia, right? Google Stadia is the newest entrant into the whole console war. And it's not even a console. In fact, they build Stadia as you don't even need hardware. You just need, it's almost like xCloud, right? You only need a phone, or you only need the Chrome browser. And you can play all these AAA games without downloading, without any of that, right? But Stadia is kind of a different beast, because it's trying to apply the console model on a streaming setup, on a game streaming setup. And it hasn't been out long enough to really, I don't know. I don't know yet if Stadia is going to be viable long term. We're just going to have to see. I mean, if xCloud does well, ironically, if Microsoft is able to convince people to use xCloud as a viable streaming platform, even if it's a secondary streaming platform, that might help Google to kind of pitch Stadia as a replacement. Who needs a gaming PC, but you can just play it in the cloud? All you need is a Chrome browser. So you could just use a $100 Chromebook and play AAA games on the Chrome browser, right? But the difference is that xCloud is like Netflix. You get a huge library of games that you can play all at once. You can just choose what game you want to play and you play it. Whereas with Stadia, you still have to buy the games and play them. So it's not quite the same. And I'm not sure people are going to be willing to shell out $40 to $60, or maybe $70, depending on how these next-gen games are going to be priced. I'm not sure if people are going to do that for a game, for a streaming game that they still won't get the full performance out of, because you still have to deal with the inherent latency of the internet. I mean, there's nothing you can do about latency. It's going to be there. It's just how networks work. I'm a network engineer, so trust me on that. I mean, there's a lot you can do to reduce the latency, and I think Google knows that. But and from my testing, just, you know, spoiler alert, depending on what I use, Stadia runs pretty well. If I use the Chromecast Ultra, you can tell there's latency there, but if I use the Chrome browser, it's almost it's pretty low. The lag is pretty low. But like I said, I'm not going to talk about all of that yet, because I want to do separate videos on each of those game streaming services. So subscribe if you haven't, and be on the lookout for those videos. But I want to hear from you now. What do you think about this console war? I mean, do you think it's over? Is there a console war? I mean, are you like PC Master Race, F all those consoles? Like, what do you think? You know, let me know down in the comments below. Let's have a conversation. Let's have a civil conversation. I don't really want a real console war in the comments, but just let me know. Do you think that it's possible for all of the major platforms to win? If one wins, does that mean that the other platform is going to suffer? Like, if more people go towards the subscription model of Game Pass, does that mean that Sony might, you know, kind of falter in that, or are people going to buy PS5 regardless? So I don't know. Let me know down there in the comments below. Thank you all for watching this video. Like I said, if you found this helpful, please leave a like down there and a subscribe and hit the bell icon, so when I do release a new video, you won't miss it. It'll be right there in your sub box. And yeah, so until next time, don't just think about tech, process it.